If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's another edition of Love of the Star. Welcome on in, Zach Wolchuk, alongside the Super Bowl winning scout, Brian Broaddus, as we are closer and closer to the NFL draft. Just over a week and a half away, basically, here, Brian, as we are, man, this thing you blank, and all of a sudden it is here. Is a really, really exciting time. And I know for you, I was listening yesterday. I was driving back from Austin, Texas, and you jumped on 105 through the fan with our weekend shows. 235, my friend. 235 players on your board. Mm. You are a savage. You are a badass. For those of you that don't always, you know, dive in and do the studies like we do on the draft, there's a lot of time, dedication, preparation that goes into this. And man, you've been grinding away. I'm on my last 20. I'm at 180, so I'm going to hit the 200. It's certainly a lot harder as I've got the family now.
Oh, yeah.
I will admit that. But my whole goal is to never let you down. You've put me in this position. You've trusted me. I love what we've got here, and I just want to make you proud. But, sir, how is this final board looking?
Cluttered. And, you know, and I'm not very comfortable – putting 235 players on a board and having it look exactly what I think it should look like. And what I've noticed, Zach, is that, and maybe you're finding out the same things, and as you get to your final 20, you're going to look at your board, and if you put it on a spreadsheet like I do, and I know others as well, I know I got Vaj doing, I know you do it as well as yourself, you find yourself looking at, okay, why are there so many third-round running backs? Why are there so many fourth-round linebackers? Why are there so many, you know, it's could I have done something different to maybe split all this up? And I'm not saying window dress my board, but with pockets of players. And I wonder if the NFL teams, and this is where I need to talk to my guys and gals around the league and kind of get an idea. And I send my board to several guys I know around the league, my gang of seven. I send it to them and say, hey, listen, tear it up, do whatever you want to do with it. But I'm just curious of what they think. And I wonder if they're going through the same things that you and I and Vaj Lombardi and Tommy Yarish and, you know, Bobby Belt and, you know, Nick Harris and Kyle Yeomans, we're all going through right now is these pockets of players. Mm-hmm. And in a way, I think it's great. In a way, I'm terrified. But I was talking with Dane Brugler about this.
Yeah.
And we were talking specifically about the running backs. And I asked Dane about, there were a couple of down the line guys that I had some questions about, potential fourth round guys that are fifth round guys, maybe some third round guys that are fourth round, you know, vice versa, just kind of looking at it. And he said something pretty profound to me. He says, Brian, he goes, I've worked with you a long time doing this. He goes, I've never done this where I've had so many players at a position, say like the running backs, and really don't think there's a consensus of what order they're going to go in.
Yeah.
He says, I've really just kind of given up trying to nail the order. And I think that's a pretty profound statement. I just think that there are a lot of them. There's a lot of different combinations. There's catchers, blockers, runners. There's runners, blockers. There's catchers, runners. There's all kinds of different combinations. There's tall guys, short guys. There's explosive guys. There's guys with long speed. There's guys with power. There's it's just a really diverse group of players. But I'm looking at my spreadsheet, and it's just like these pockets of players. And that should be interesting for the draft and make it something kind of, in a way, fun to try. Are you going to get ahead of the runs in the draft? And will there all of a sudden be one, two, three? Okay, here's the fourth running back taken. Now we're going to have a run. We're going to have a run on corners. We're going to have a run on edges. We're going to have, you know, the basketball is the sport of runs. You know, as we see, this draft might be one of those times where we see a run on players. And I wonder if some guys around the league are probably looking at this and like, well, maybe we can wait. But I don't particularly want to wait for a running back if I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. I don't particularly want to wait to the fifth round with no fourth right now. I don't want to wait. I want to hit this thing in the first, second, or third. I'd love to get what I determine as the very good over just the good, you know? So that's kind of how I'm looking at this right now. But boy, it's so weird to look at a board with, you know, with 235 players on it. Now I got to stack all these guys. I'm going to stack them.
Good luck.
I'm going to stack them from 1 to 235 and just put it out there. And on 105.3, The Fan, you know, people can look at the stack and they can look at my board. And you know, I'm going to be real transparent about that. This, the guys I like and the order I like them in. So, you know, you can pick it apart or do it what you must.
Yeah, it's going to, with no fourth round pick, that's what's going to be really interesting because you've got, I mean, I got a bunch of runners in the third and the fourth year. I got a ton of linebackers in the fourth round right now. That's a position that's interesting. Like, do you look at this offensive tackle? I've got several tackles in the fourth round. They're kind of all jumbled together. There's a bit of a drop off there. So it's like, man, do we want to gamble on some of these guys will get there to the fifth, or do we need to get ahead of that, to your point? Because that's what happened last year. They saw the run of the runners happen in the fourth. And by the time they were on the clock in the fifth round, they were just kind of out of luck.
Yeah. I think there was some mock drafts from well-respected drafters, you know, Mel Kiper, respected, been doing this since 1988. And, you know, his deal is he's just consistently hammered the Hampton pick. And I don't know if he's hammering the pick just because the fact that Ginty's gone. You know, there was a time where Ginty was everybody's darling for January and February in a mock draft for the Dallas Cowboys. When we all knew damn good and well that Ashton Ginty's probably one of the best three players in this draft. He was never going to get to you at 12. Just never was. And people could talk about, you know, and I'm not trying to poo-poo on people who believe in position value and stuff like that. I'm not trying to do that. I just think when you're in the top 15 of the draft, you're really trying to hone in on the guy that has the most talent, has the best character, and is not hurt. You know, that's what you're really trying to hone in on. And, you know, there's some questions about some of these corners, some of these top corners. And all of a sudden, you know, guys like Morrison from Notre Dame and Revelle from East Carolina, could we be seeing them get into the second round when they're really, you know, so they're when you're looking at these players, you're trying to get the best player, the best character, and the best health. And there was never going to be a chance, in my opinion, that Ashton Ginty was going to get to you at 12. I didn't believe it because, like I said, I felt like he was one of the three best players. So what I'm trying to say is that maybe, you know, you're going to probably lose out on Ashton Jeanty, but now you've got to determine who is the best fit of, it appears that they like Hampton more than they like Johnson from Iowa. That's fair. It appears they like Henderson more than they like Johnson from Iowa. The thing you might have to be a little bit nervous about if you're them is that both those guys go before Johnson. And yeah. Now are you willing to take Johnson at 44? If I just think they have to get a running back either at that second round pick or the third round pick. And my thing is, with no fourth round pick, this really this kind of limits what I can do. But I don't want to wait until the fifth. I don't want to take that chance. I would like to get that guy that I know is that workhorse type of a running back that can run it, can block it, can catch it. And that tends to be what we're looking at right now with the guy in the first round, Jeanty, and then those guys in the second round. And then the third round, well, maybe you have a combination of two of the three or one of the three, or, you know, you don't really have three of the three. And when I mean the run, block, and catch.
Right. We had, you mentioned Jeanty was the sexy name early. Then it kind of morphed into Teteroa McMillan. Now, yeah. As we're getting closer to the draft, there is a ton of hype building with Matthew Golden, the wide receiver out of Texas right now. Now, Golden did come in for a visit last week. And, you know, Brian, I wonder your thoughts on maybe how the Cowboys feel about him. Are we overlooking an Emeka Egbuka as a possibility there? Do they like Golden more than Egbuka? I feel like Egbuka is a safer pick. There might be more upside with the Matthew Golden. But here are my issues with Golden. It's not that I don't like the player at all. I've got him as a first-round receiver. I think he's really good. He's a guy that also can return kicks for you. He's got the juice. He's adding something to the receiving room that they don't necessarily have. My notes for him are really outstanding. My problem is he didn't have the consistent production throughout his college career that you've seen from Emeka Egbuka, you've seen from a Teteroa McMillan. How much do you need to factor that into it? Could it also be maybe things finally just clicked for Matthew Golden? He didn't come in as the number one wide receiver at Texas. That was supposed to be Isaiah Bond, who transferred from Alabama. And he took that role over. And when they got into the big game, specifically Arizona State, he ended up balling out. They needed plays to be made. They were looking Matthew Golden's way. But then do you start to overhype a player based on just what he did in the playoff? Those are my questions when it comes to Golden. I've got him behind McMillan and Egbuka personally, but I wouldn't have an issue if they took him at 12. I just wanted to talk with you and just kind of express these were my concerns. How do you feel about it? And how do you think they feel about him?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
What you and I feel about these receivers is does it matter to them? It matters to the folks that are listening to our content, you know, and I appreciate that. I personally have Golden in the second round, but that would be player 17, 18, yeah. 19 on my board. It's not like it's a massive, oh, he's a second round grade. Well, I just don't have him in my top 15. You know, I personally have, who I do have in my top 15 is I have Burden.
Yeah.
From Missouri, and I have Ibuka in my top 15. So I actually have four wide receivers because I have Hunter as a wide receiver.
Yeah.
I have Hunter as a wide receiver, and that's just me. But Hunter, McMillan, Burden, Ibuka. I could fully understand why they would, they brought them all in with the exception of Hunter. So, you know, McMillan, Burden, Ibuka, Golden, Dave. The reason why I think that they might like Golden better than just say me is the speed. Mm-hmm. I think you can legitimately see at times the separation. You could see how he affects defensive backs when he runs routes, when he closes cushion and then all of a sudden comes down the stem. You know, he's driving, and all of a sudden you're seeing defensive backs in full backpedal just to try and keep up. And then all of a sudden he hits the brakes and now comes back to the ball or breaks it on the out. You could see that. Now, the thing and I think to your point, the thing that makes Ibuka so interesting is he's always played the second fiddle, but played it well, but at times he's played like a one. He's absolutely played like a one. And that to me is very, very interesting that he is a guy that knows his role. He knows what he has to do. You can line him up at a couple of different spots. He's tremendously, when it comes to consistently catching the football, hell, his targets, I think he had four drops for the year. Just, it's incredible. You know, hands and plays on the move and it will block, and you can use him in a lot of different ways. I think he's one of the safest players in the draft.
Agreed.
You know, and I'm just thinking on the Dallas level, I'm thinking that Dallas doesn't have a player like Matthew Golden. And I think that's why they would lean to him. Now, they will tell you, I guarantee you this week, Zach, when we get to, or next week when we get to the pre-draft press conference with Jerry and Steven, and maybe Will being up there. I don't know. Maybe it's shoddy. But they're going to tell you about Mingo. You know, they're going to tell you when the question about a wide receiver is being asked, they're going to mention Mingo. Now, we could all say that, well, he's never had an opportunity to play with somebody that can actually throw him the football. Guy at Carolina was young, couldn't get him the ball. He was playing, you know, with Cooper Rush last year, couldn't get him the ball. You know, so there's some thought that, well, listen, hey, this guy's tough. He's big. We've seen him catch slants before. We just need Dak to throw him the ball. So does that take care of your big receiver that you might be looking for, that X? You know, should it eliminate Ibuka or Golden? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But they, in their minds, are probably thinking, we've got a big guy. We got CD. We got kind of a smaller guy in Turpin. Let's go out and get somebody with some speed. Let's go out and get somebody that threatens defensive backs and secondaries. I mean, you can watch the Arizona State game. They try to bracket covered Golden, and he just – He nods the outside to keep the spacing. He nods outside. The corner stays wide. He then works inside. Now the safety's trying to get over, but he's by the safety. And Quinn Ewers throws the ball right between him, and it's 6 points. This kid knows how to play with leverage. He knows how to play with explosiveness. I just think that they see him different than maybe Abuka and maybe even Burden. And sure. maybe even McMillan to that point. They might think like, you know, we got a guy in McMillan and C.D. Lamb. And we got a big body guy in Mingo. We got a smaller guy in Turpin. Let's go and get a guy that can really just take the top off this thing with his speed. And I think that's why if it came down to it, that they that the consideration might be Golden over McMillan for that reason.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, his ability to not lose momentum in and out of his breaks, it's really outstanding. It might be the best in the class, really, at his ability to just break and cut. He's just smooth. And it did seem like his confidence, like he, throughout the season, if you watched him early on, like early in the Michigan game, and then you start to watch him later against Georgia in both meetings, and then against Arizona State, Ohio, he became just a better player. You could see the swagger, the confidence. Like he really just emerged and took over that room, it seemed like. And I was listening to an interview with Sark this week, and he kind of glowingly said the same thing about him. I would argue for Igbuka for the blocking ability that I don't think Golden has. Now, could he develop that? Yes. Igbuka is an exceptional blocker. Him and Ayoma Nwore out of Stanford, I think, might be the two best in this draft. And that's what set Shoddy's talked about wanting to improve the run. You're taking a wide receiver. Not only do I think you'd get a good one in Igbuka, you're improving your running game because of his ability to block.
Oh, no. When you're playing with Schottenheimer's talking about playing with reduced formations, you know, and you know, when we talk about there's Dallas last year played wider than any other team in the National Football League when it came to their offense. They were one of the widest when it came to splits and receiver splits and things like that. Shoddy's talking more about becoming more of a condensed offense. And yeah, that when you play condensed, it turns into, okay, now you're asking these guys to have to help in the running game and block. And I agree. I mean, Abuka, he would – listen, Dallas is not, in my opinion, Dallas is not going to get wiped out at wide receiver. I don't think they will. If they take a wide receiver – because I am totally comfortable taking McMillan. I'm comfortable taking Luther Burden. I am actually comfortable taking Abuka, and I'm comfortable taking Golden. I think they all could help with your situation, with not only the passing game, but stuff you need maybe do in the running game.
Yeah, I'm with you. And to your point about Mingo, maybe that's the guy that they say, hey, he's a good blocker. We got a good blocking receiver.
So yeah, see, that's favored Golden. That's, see, that's, I just think, Zach, they're going to look at their room and they're going to try and say, we've got this, we've got this, and we got this. Do we need to add this? Now, maybe there's some things later in this draft, the second, third, fourth round, there's some receivers that might, maybe in the fifth round, there's a receiver. It's like, oh, this is a guy that we don't have. But they do have the size with Mingo. They do have the ability to play inside, outside with Lamb. Mm-hmm. They do have the ability to play outside and inside with Turpin to a point, and even use him in the backfield. They just don't have that go. That just now, people say Turpin, but you want maybe a taller guy that's further. And Turpin has made some plays down the field, but you're talking about Mingo going up and getting balls, you know, that kind of thing. So,
yeah,
that's why I think that you might see, if it came down to McMillan and Golden, that's why you might see Golden.
Yeah. I think that's a great point. You are listening to the Love of the Star podcast. The Love of the Star is an Odyssey podcast. You can find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.